This is The Hollywood Outsider, a weekly movie and TV podcast with a new episode every Tuesday. And this episode, we are going to present our live episode from the New Media Expo. Joining me for this intro is Scotty Clark.
Hey, how you doing? I was not at the live recording, but I'll hear and talk about it.
That's right. But you want to talk about it? It went well.
I'm sure it did.
Were you upset you couldn't be there?
I was kind of upset I couldn't be there. I seriously considered it, but I would have had to miss a considerable amount of work and as few days of work as I work as it is.
I feel you sound like a total deadbeat right now. As few days as I really do anything. I mean,
well,
I get so much.
I get so much crap for holidays and summers and this kind of stuff. So taking an extra day off of work, I feel kind of guilty.
Yeah, Scott's a teacher, so he basically is off what, 3, 4, 6 months out of the year, something like that.
Yeah, not that bad, but
it's pretty extensive, man. It's pretty extensive. We're going to present the episode here shortly, but we got other stuff we want to talk about before we get there. First up is the Summer Movie League. Justin actually started a Summer Movie League, and you notice that they couldn't be here. They had other stuff going on. Long story short, just Scott and I are the only ones dedicated to you. That's really what it boils down to. Right, Scott? That's what it feels like.
I'm not going to say that.
Nah, just kidding. Justin was unable to be here. Brian had a family emergency or personal emergency. Oh, crap. Don't freak everybody out. He had something personal going on, so he couldn't make it. So Scott and I are picking up the slack, heavy lifting, as it were. We should redo our Christmas special and just do some poems. Could do that. I could do that. We're going to talk a little bit about the Batman versus Superman trailer and the Star Wars trailers that are out, which can be found at the website. They're both on the website now. There's been a lot of scuttlebutt about these two trailers. I want to hit Star Wars first because I know you're a huge fan of Star Wars.
Yes, I am.
Did this take you back to being a kid? What did this do for you?
Oh, it was awesome. When I got notification that this trailer was available to watch, I was actually at school with my students. And I saw something pop up on my phone, and right before they were going to like art class or something, and so as soon as I dropped them off, I ran back to my room, excitedly opened up YouTube on my computer, and it froze up or something. I was shaking with anticipation to see this trailer. It was kind of funny. So finally saw it, and oh, it was everything I wanted, and so much more. I've never been so excited to watch a trailer, even on its second, third, fourth, and many other times to see it. It made me so – I didn't think it would be possible to be more excited, but I am now. It was perfect. Awesome.
Yeah, and the reason we're not going to like go over it shot by shot is a lot of people don't want to be spoiled about it. You know, we talked about the first trailer. We kind of try to limit – when we talk about trailers, we kind of limit it to the first one because there's usually less spoilers with the first trailer. The closer you get to release, it feels like they're just telling you everything.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? This really did a good job of still not telling us a whole lot. But mm-hmm. they did finally give us that first glimpse of the old guard, of the old cast, because everybody knows that they're coming back. So we finally got that shot, that one shot, and I was giddy. Because it's, I mean, you know, it's Harrison Ford. How do you go wrong with Harrison Ford?
Yeah, I don't think you'd be as excited if it were Mark Hamill or
Carrie Fisher. No, because they're old.
No, Mark Hamill was technically in the trailer. It was just his voice, but still.
I just saw him on Flash recently. He redid his old character, the Trickster.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's pretty funny because he still got it, man. He's still a wily kind of guy.
Yeah, he is. Mm-hmm. In more ways than one. He does a lot of voice work for cartoons and stuff, too.
Oh, man, his Joker's phenomenal. Phenomenal.
It really is.
Yeah, you should really check that out. But it's a great trailer. So if you haven't seen it or if you've been debating it, it really doesn't give away a lot of the movie, Star Wars The Force Awakens. It's really just getting you psyched. Honestly, I totally forgot about the George Lucas bastardizing of the with the prequels. I almost totally forgot about all those.
I actually had a really cool moment watching it because as soon as my students came back to the room, I played it for them. And I don't have any kids, so I don't know that I'll ever have that moment. But I felt like I got to share something with the younger generation, and their reaction was priceless. It was awesome, just mouths on the floor, staring at what was on the screen. It was a really cool moment. We were all feeding off each other's excitement, you know, except for some of the girls that were like, Star Wars is stupid.
I don't know any girls like that, and I don't want to. Other girls I know love that stuff. So I don't, man. I was giddy. A lot of people were giddy. And then unfortunately the internet, after all that joy, they couldn't stay on that cloud for very long, apparently.
Mm-hmm.
Cause it's the internet. Cause you got about 5 minutes before the internet turns on itself. And then the Batman versus Superman trailer was first leaked. Then it came out and people lost their minds.
But in a different way, it seems like.
Yeah, it's not, and that one's up on the website too, thehollywoodoutsider.com. It seemed like, for me personally, as you watch it, it feels very much like it's just a teaser. I mean, it's just setting the mood. There's a conflict. 95% of the world has no idea, probably 99% of the world, has no idea that there's even a storyline where Superman goes up against Batman, right?
Right.
And because the concept is just like, okay, Batman would last 8 seconds in theory. But really, I mean, if you've ever read the comic, which most people haven't, and you're probably better people for it, but, you know, it's about brains versus brawn because Bruce Wayne is an extremely smart guy. He figures out a way to level the playing field, so to speak. And there's a lot of reasoning behind it. And I think you got a sense of that in the trailer. You got a sense of grandeur. You got a sense of what would happen if gods were going up against gods, you know, as opposed to your typical superhero where, you know, guy inherits weird power and things happen. I mean, what if you were just a god, you know?
Well, my bigger question, and again, coming from someone that doesn't know anything about the comics, is mm-hmm. aren't they both good guys? Why are they fighting each other? Who's the bad guy? Who's the good guy?
Scott, you and I are both good guys most of the time, right? We fight.
Meh.
Okay, you're a good guy most of the time, right? We still fight. It happens. You get an argument with your friend.
I can't imagine this is like, you know, flipping the table. We're mad at each other for something. We're trying to kill each other.
Here's the thing is I can't tell you without giving away a mild spoiler, and I don't want to do that because I really want people to be able to go in as not knowing as much as they
right.
can. So it's actually a cool concept. If you've ever read the comic, it's a good concept. So if people really want to know, go Wikipedia it.
But how did you feel about the trailer?
I didn't love it. I do agree with some of the naysayers that say it's too dark.
I do too.
But the thing is, man, it's still a teaser. For me, if we're close to release date and it's still – that's the vibe I'm getting, I will be more concerned than I am currently because people seem to forget – the Age of Ultron trailer was really dark, the first one was. It was really serious and dire and, oh, man, the world's coming to an end, that kind of thing. But I think people give it a pass because everybody loved the Avengers, so, hey, it's Marvel. We're all good. They could do anything right now. They could have a camera just focused on Plato, and they'd be like, oh, man, that's one of the best Plato movies I've ever seen. That thing's fantastic. Look at the way that
There is there is a Plato movie coming, so you gotta be careful.
Well, if they want to be rich, just slap Marvel on it and make a mint. I really don't feel like people equate it the same. It's a teaser. It's early. They're trying to set up the conflict in people's minds so that they compose it, and it's a serious threat. For me, I'm okay with it. Didn't love it, but I'm okay with it, and I like some parts of it. What about you?
I wonder if people's impressions of it would have been different if this had come out before the Star Wars trailer.
I don't know, man. Do you really think people would, just because they were on Cloud 9, they would come down just because another...
Man, it would be a fun social experiment if there's some way you could...
play them back-to-back.
You could go back, you know, it's obviously too late now, but have a group of super nerds and put them, half of them in a room, half of them in the other, and play them in order and see what their impressions are or something. I don't know.
I think a lot of people want old Christopher Reeve back. Still.
With the little curly Q thing?
I think so, man. Because every time I have the conversation where people are complaining about how it looks and it's dark and Man of Steel was too dark, which I don't agree with. I liked Man of Steel. I thought it was a different direction. All I kind of hear in my head is Christopher Reeve. They want, which is fine. I love those too, but can we have different stuff? Can we try it and then see if we don't like it? I liked Man of Steel a lot. So I don't have a problem if that's the direction they continue. I do think they need to lighten up a little bit because Superman is not Batman. They definitely, he's supposed to be hopeful and he's supposed to be a Boy Scout and some of those things. So I want more of that to come through, but I think it's too early.
Well, and I'm not in either camp of, you know, Marvel over DC or DC over Marvel. I get the impression that DC fans are almost on the defensive at this point because of the success of Marvel.
Mm-hmm.
And they want something at that level. They want the flashy, you know, attractive kind of thing. And this just is doing a different tone than what Marvel's doing. So I could get that frustration, but it's not like this movie's not going to make a ton of money. Everybody's going to see it, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. It's,
that's the thing. It's like you put these characters in any movie and all the fans are going to see it. They're never going to be so upset that they're not going to watch the movie. So
no. And if they are, they'll be so upset paying for that ticket. Mm-hmm. So everybody wins. It's going to be a huge movie no matter what.
Mm-hmm.
Let's just let it play out. Let it play out. Now, before we go into the live episode, we've seen a couple movies we want to talk about real quick. What is Misery Loves Comedy?
Misery Loves Comedy is a documentary by Kevin Pollak. Obviously, you got an opportunity to interview him and talk to him about this. But to me, this documentary is really special because of a number of reasons. We talked, obviously, in the past about Robin Williams passing, and one of the themes surrounding his death was that he was depressed and obviously very much a drug user because of his depression and this kind of thing.
Scott likes to say this kind of thing a lot.
I do like this kind of thing.
We're keeping a tally at this point.
All right, that's one. I only get one on that one. This movie kind of focuses on that, not so much in the whole film, but just kind of the final third. And the rest of it is done in a very interesting fashion that I've never seen in a documentary. In most documentaries, you have some voiceover giving a narration throughout the whole thing. And I kind of expected that. And in this, I felt like all we got were the answers that Kevin Pollak gave these comedians. And then that's all we saw. You didn't see the setup question. You just kind of had to infer what the question was, and it totally worked. There was no distraction. It was just these comedians' reactions. And it wasn't just stand-up comedians. It was comedic actors. It was comedic writers, directors, the full gamut of people that did comedy to some degree.
Mm-hmm.
And genuinely fascinating. I was some of the stories that he got out of these people were just like, wow, that was a really bold story you just told, or a personal story.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a really good insight into that art and what they do to get there. So I really recommend it. I'm kind of on a documentary kick lately between this and the HBO ones. And
oh, the Going Clear.
God. Yeah.
And, Scientology. Y'all crazy. Yep.
And Jinx. And I'm just on a roll. So I feel like I'm getting old, because when I was a kid, if I knew I was going to grow up and watch documentaries, I'd like shoot myself. But this one is seriously worth checking out. I think it's on video on demand now for certain. You said iTunes?
Yeah, it's on iTunes and on demand. Yep.
And it's coming on the theaters on
April 24th, limited release, slowly rolling out.
Yeah, definitely give it a chance. It's not your typical documentary. It's funny. It really is.
It's funny and it's deep. I mean, it really. The best part, and Scott alluded to it, is the narration and the lack thereof having it. You know, I don't have a voice in my ear telling me what my opinion is the entire movie.
Right.
That was so fantastic, because that's what I always want documentaries to be.
I also love the amount of people that were in it. In most documentaries that I see, you have a handful of people that are interviewed, and those five or six or seven people are recycled throughout the entire thing. I think within the last 10 or 15 minutes, we saw people we hadn't seen the entire time. And there are people we saw in the opening frames that we didn't see for the entirety of the rest of the movie.
Mm-hmm.
It was just, it was a constant surprise. Like, whoa, I didn't even know he was a comedian or stuff like that.
Right. Wow. it's really, really interesting. I really think people should check it out. If $10 full price permission, I give it $7. What did you?
I gave it $7.50.
Ooh, look at you. And be sure to check out the interview. The interview is great. It's really interesting. He's a really interesting guy, very insightful. It's in your RSS feed or on the website right now. Definitely check it out. Very.
It seems very genuine.
He's extremely genuine. Very, mm-hmm. very cool, down to earth guy. Definitely check that out. Mm-hmm. Also, Adult Beginners comes out April 24th as well. That's Nick Kroll as a man who just is falling apart. He has a huge business venture that completely bankrupts basically everyone he knows. And he's forced to go back to his hometown with his hat in hand and move in with his sister, who's played by Rose Byrne. She's married to Bobby Cannavale, and they've got a fairly happy relationship. She's a teacher, like Scott. And but there's issues going on with her. So basically, it's those two dealing with their lot in life and how they're not quite happy with the way things are going for them currently professionally. When I first walked in the movie, I saw this at South by Southwest. So if you listen to that episode, you've already heard me talk about it. Nick Kroll is a guy that you know from The League, and he plays Ruxin on The League. I walked into the movie thinking, well, that's not going to be great because, you know, all I've ever seen him do is play Ruxin. So I figured right. the whole movie is just going to be him playing Ruxin. It wasn't. He actually gave a performance. Rose Byrne is a person I love in so many different ways. But she's a very talented actress. And in this performance, what I love most about the film is in her performance, she plays his sister. And those two together, the entire movie isn't about him being saved by some woman he falls in love with, even though he does end up with a little bit of a romantic relationship. It isn't about her marriage, even though Bobby Cannavale's relationship with her comes into play. It's totally about their relationship as brother and sister and where they are in life. And mm-hmm. she's not, even though she seems like everything's great on the outside, she's really struggling internally. He's obviously a failure on the outside, so he's struggling internally and externally. So there's a whole lot of their bonding, their relationship. It's truly a sibling comedy drama. And I honestly don't think I've seen anything remotely similar to it in a very long time. I really enjoyed it. It's very funny, very heartfelt. It feels genuine. The ending doesn't seem ridiculous or rushed. And it feels very realistic, which is mm-hmm. really important to me. If $10 is full price for admission, I get it $7.
Oh, very cool. I really do want to check that one out.
Oh, you gotta. Did I talk about the Summer Movie League yet? I honestly don't remember if I did or not.
No, I don't believe. I think you started to, and I think we did not cover it in
depth. Then let me finish that before we move on. Justin started a Summer Movie League, which basically means that it's like fantasy football for movie fans. You go to summermovieleague.com. That's summermovieleague.com. And you're going to basically look for the league titled The Hollywood Outsider. And you're going to have to register and everything. Once you register, look for the league called The Hollywood Outsider. It's going to ask you for a password. We're a private league, so just look for a private league. Password is Outsider2015. That's Outsider2015. Now, what this is basically you get a $100 million budget. You don't actually get $100 million, but they give you a $100 million budget. And you can pick 10 movies, and whatever you pick, and it's based on the summer, which our summer episode will be up shortly. It's based on the summer. Pick 10 movies, cannot exceed $100 million. And then whoever at the end of the summer has grossed the most amount of money based on, you know, actual grosses wins. So we're playing against each other.
That sounds really, really interesting. And just to be clear, people can pick the same movies, so it's not like
mm-hmm. yeah.
it's not the kind of fantasy football league I'm familiar with where, you know, one person gets this player and then and that kind of thing. You can pick whatever movies you
That's
want.
That's two. Ding. That's two. That kind of thing. That's two. Oh. I'm still keeping track. I didn't let that
okay.
go. Yeah. and when you pick a movie, every movie is priced different based on how successful they think it will be. Mm-hmm. So like Avengers 2 is priced at, I think, $20 million. And, you know, other movies that aren't expected to do that well are priced like $2 million or $4 million or whatever the number is. And you just can't exceed 10 or $100 million, nor can you exceed 10 movies. So it's really can you picking the best combination for a successful summer. Very cool. Very cool.
Very cool idea. You know what I think they should do also as a bonus? I think you should be able to pick 5 movies that you think are going to be a flop. And then however much they underperform, you get that added to your total at the end too.
Mmm.
Don't, I think that would be kind of interesting.
It's already complicated enough, man. We don't need to add to it.
I know. It's just an idea.
Well, everybody, please do that. Please sign up. We'd love to play against all of you. The more the merrier. Just like I said, go to summermovieleague.com, register, look for the Hollywood Outsider, the private league, and the password again is Outsider2015. It doesn't need to be capitalized or anything, just Outsider2015. And I think that's pretty much going to do it. Now, our summer extravaganza was supposed to be this week. Due to, like I said, the unforeseen circumstances, we're pushing it off. It'll still be here, so you'll still get to hear it next Monday or Tuesday, whenever we can get it done. And we just wanted to make sure that we were able to do it right and do it full, as opposed to, you know, we would have had to half-ass it to get it to you today. Right, Scott?
We don't do things half-ass, Aaron.
Well, you were okay with it. I'm just pointing out, you're like, I don't care, man, whatever you want to do. Shit. Let's do just 5 minutes and be like, summer rocks, and I can go back to playing video games. Woohoo! So what do you, are you looking forward to that episode that we were half through?
I am. I was, yeah, I actually had what I thought was some good insight all prepped and ready to go.
I did research.
I did research.
It's awesome.
No, it'll be good. It's what's interesting to me, and we'll get there obviously, is that I kind of feel like the four months that we're going to cover are kind of flip-flopped. I feel like there's one good month and one month, and then one good month and then another month.
Yeah, we've had some last-minute changes too, so we'll definitely address those, and we will still have it out before summer starts, promise. Mm. But right now, we were finalists for the podcast awards. Do you want to tell everybody what you want to tell them about the podcast awards, like how we did and thanks?
Well, unfortunately, we didn't win the podcast award. We lost to the guy in a hat.
Frickin' hat.
There was a gentleman that not only had a podcast in our category, but also something like four others. And he's built quite a collection of fans, which, hey, it's awesome for him. He won something like five or six awards.
I think it was four, but it still felt like eight.
It felt like he was on stage a lot more than four times.
He was up there more than we were, I can tell you that.
Well, that's true. But I do want to say thanks to everybody that voted, because I can say from personal experience as a guy that voted every single day, it was somewhat of a cumbersome activity, even if you only use one email account, not like my three or four that I did.
Was it McCumbersome?
Mm-hmm.
No,
but I see what you did there. So we really do appreciate that, and it was a lot of work, but we were just happy to be nominated. I know that sounds like that's like a thing that it's like a pat answer.
It's true, man. Happy to be nominated. It's true. Seriously, it was a real honor to be there, and I really wish the guys could have been there. They really wanted to be there, but obviously finances, stuff like that, it doesn't always line up. But I can't even tell you how appreciative we were, especially because we know, especially for the first couple of weeks, how that process was a problem for a lot of people, and you still stuck with it. And if you didn't, and you're listening to this and you're feeling a little guilty, you probably should. You should probably cry inside a little bit. But
well,
still,
we had people like posting notes on their computers at work to remind them to do it every day. That was pretty cool.
Yeah, I had just put a reminder in my phone because I kept forgetting. And then there's like because if you didn't vote, which, hey, I understand everybody wanted to vote. Not perfectly fine. Shame on you. but it was like a 24-hour window, so it wasn't like next day. So if you voted at 7, you couldn't vote before 7 the next day.
Right.
That became a little bit of a part of the problem.
And then if you forgot and didn't do it till the end of the day, then you basically lost 12 hours.
Yep.
Yeah.
I was guilty of that.
So was I.
What are you going to do, man? What are you going to do?
Right.
But we still did a live show. We were invited to do a live show at New Media Expo, which is what you're going to hear in a second. I just want to kind of explain it. Scott, you couldn't be here. Mm-hmm. You couldn't be there for the show. Justin and Brian couldn't be there either. So I do another podcast called The Blacklist Exposed, which is basically, it's what Scott and Justin and Brian do every week, which is it just pops up. I let somebody else do all the work. Love it. Now I know why you guys like it. It is fantastic.
Yeah, it's pretty nice.
But my co-host on that show, Troy Heinrichs, was actually out there And he agreed to come on and fill in because these guys couldn't be there. It was basically him and I and in front of like a live audience. And then people would randomly walk by and then people would randomly take pictures. And we met a lot of listeners that are fans of the show, which is really cool.
Like while you're recording, they're coming up and saying hi?
Yeah, a lot of them would wait until we were done, which was more appreciative.
Yeah.
But there were a few that, like, you'll hear them during the recording when they just walk up and like, hey, what's going on? Like, hi. The one thing they didn't have is they didn't have the audience mic'd. So you'll hear us, but you might not hear some of their reactions. So just keep that in mind. It's a live show. And I do want to tell you, Scott, Justin, Brian, if you guys are listening, a lot of people, there were several people that drove in just for that are fans of the show. That was fantastic. So if those guys are listening, really appreciate it. I thought that was huge. One guy drove in from LA.
Wow.
Just for that. That was really, really appreciative. So I can't even, well, I mean, I was there, so I got to thank him. What do you want to say?
To Troy?
No, to the fan that drove from LA. That's a long way.
That's fantastic. I feel even more guilty for not being able to go myself. So
you should. You really should.
It'd be cool to meet fans in person.
Yeah, it was a cool experience. Troy talks a lot. You know what I'm saying? But I'm just kidding, Troy. Because I know he's listening to this going, kiss my ass. He really did help us out. And we really appreciate it. Again, you can Blacklist Exposed. Go to goldensparrowmedia.com/blacklist.
What's it like recording in front of live people? Because, you know, we can kind of have a conversation and hide behind our computers here, but we don't have a live audience. What's that like?
Oh, man, it is intense. It's really weird. Mm-hmm. It's really weird. I think I did fine. I mean, you have to listen to it and tell me how I did.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot more exciting, I think, to do it that way. You have to be a lot more conscious because you can't make mistakes. I can't go back and I can't fix it in the edit like I would here. Like if I screw something up, I can't make it sound like it never happened and then leave all you guys' mistakes in. I can't do any of that. I can't. It's weird. But it is very cool. It's just weird, I think, because the first 20 minutes was really odd because there were people taking our pictures and – you know, trying to mess us up and that sort of thing. And it took some getting used to get that going because I really felt like an aquarium. You used to live DJ, right?
Yes, I did.
How was that for you? How did you like that?
Well, I'm a ham in public. And, you know, when you DJ, you're supposed to be getting people excited and interaction with the crowd. You know, it's like an MC kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
That's three. And
ding. We got to get a bell, Scott. Just ding.
Just a bell. So for me, it's natural, but when you're trying to have a conversation is more of like, you know, it's just between us.
Mm-hmm.
And our audience listens to it after we've recorded it and edited it. So
you wanted to do it again. You almost did it again. I swear you almost did it again.
I can't imagine just having a conversation like with you or Troy or the other guys and just people watching. That just seems awkward.
Yeah, it's like dance monkey dance.
Mm-hmm.
And also podcasters. So we actually pulled a couple that like were walking by, other podcasters that we knew in the audience like during the show. I think we had a lot of fun with it. So I really hope you guys will enjoy it. I know you're sick of us rambling, so let me just go ahead and introduce it. Scott and I will be back at the end to wrap the show up. This is The Hollywood Outsider, live from New Media Expo. Once again, my guest host was Troy Heinrichs. You can find The Blacklist Exposed at goldenspiralmedia.com/theblacklist. He also does a blacklist. And he also does a podcast called Under the Dome Radio, which is focused on the Under the Dome crazy-ass Stephen King show on CBS. That show is weird, but definitely they do a good job. He does that show with Wayne Henderson, who also he pops up on this. But here
this
you go.
Is the Hollywood this Outsider. Is live from Movie Media Expo. Podcast. Here's the Hollywood can be found Outsider. At thehollywoodoutsider.com. We have a new episode every Tuesday. And for this special episode, we are discussing our summer blockbusters worth it, TV mythologies, and we're recording live from the New Media Expo. So it sounds a little weird, and I think I'm still adjusting to the weirdness. My name is Aaron Peterson, and I am live on site at New Media Expo, as I said, and recording right in the middle of a giant auditorium. Joining me today is my Blacklist Exposed co-host, Troy Heinrichs. Hey, Troy.
Hey, Aaron. It's amazing to see you here in Las Vegas. It is odd to be
weird
on your show rather than being on the Blacklist for a change.
You get to be fun instead of, you know, just being angry and meaty. The other guys, you might notice, Justin, Brian, and Scott could not be here because they don't want to go to Vegas because they hate fun. That's really what happened.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. But thank you for coming, and thank you for enjoying life a little bit more than they are willing to.
I'm a super fan of The Ho, actually. I love listening to The Ho, so this is great from a fan perspective to be able to be part of the show and just talking about movies, TVs, and film and
TVs.
Being here.
We're going to talk about actual TVs.
The world of TV and film here at NAB, New Media Expo.
They have an 8K TV way back. I'm pointing. No one can see that if you're listening, but they have an 8K TV that's right back there. It looks phenomenally ridiculous. Like, no one needs to be that clear.
And there is, like, a computer running every single monitor in order to make that happen. So it's totally affordable. Put it on your Christmas list.
Ridiculous. But before we start into the actual show, Troy, where can people find you?
Obviously, with the Blacklist Exposed, that's at goldenspiralmedia.com/theblacklist. And we also do a little show called Under the Dome Radio, coming back for season 3. That's at underthedomeradio.com. And you can follow me on Twitter, at Troy Heinrichs.
Cool. This is a Hollywood Outsider, though, so we're going to get back on topic. So what do you think so far? Now, I guess, why don't you explain what New Media Expo and the NAB first, what that is, why we're here?
Yeah, so this is actually a really big thing for people in our industry. So New Media Expo itself was about new media. It used to be Blog World and then included podcasting, becoming New Media Expo. And this is the first time that it is actually what they call co-located with the National Association of Broadcasters, the NAB show.
That was way more detailed than I expected.
Yeah, and it's actually, I mean, it's crazy.
I didn't know any of that. I was like, what does NAB stand for?
NAB. We're the NAB show.
What is a NAB?
Well, it is 1 million square feet of conference space of the coolest tech gadgets and television radio you've ever seen, and about a small country. About 100,000 people are here.
Yeah, it's really insane. And it's surreal sitting here. That's why I'm still gathering my bearings.
It took me a half an hour to get up from my hotel room and actually walk to breakfast. That's how far away stuff is at the show. It's crazy.
It's very far. Now, because this is live, I want to be really weird. So how's the recording doing? Because I'm not editing anything, so I don't have to cut all this out, and I can just...
No, this is a new experience for
Aaron.
It
looks
good.
It looks
great.
I like it. We did just go to the Walking Dead panel. Where you had Steven Yeun and Robert Kirkman and Charlie somebody.
The president of AMC, if you close your eyes, it sounds like Howard Stern. It was really creepy.
He sounds just like Howard Stern. Even has a little lisp and everything. What did you think of the actual panel? Because they didn't really give any new information or exciting information, but they did talk about what's coming up for the spinoff show, which they don't want to refer to as a spinoff, but it's kind of a spinoff. Companion show is what they're calling it. What did you think about... Did you get anything out of that?
The one thing that I thought was really interesting was Robert Kirkman put out a really... He was asked a pointed question, like, what is canon? And I thought that was a really great way that he said it. He was like, canon? I don't care about canon.
He didn't seem to care about anything. He's like, screw you fans. Like,
dude, I have laryngitis or I'm sick and I'm sitting up here. And no, he was very well-spoken for what he's doing with both the novel and, of course, the television show. And it was really, I thought, fascinating to just hear him and give his perspective on stuff. He's just such like a down-to-earth, normal, he's our kind of guy. You know, and he's not one of these, like, you know, Carlton Cuse, Damon Lindelof, not that they're, you know, any more different, but... But he just seemed very personable this morning.
He seems like a guy I would go have a pizza with.
Absolutely.
And then go to the bar and probably pass out with.
And he probably had a pizza on stage, even.
He looked hungry. The fans, on the other hand, some of the fans, because they line up afterward and they ask questions, and we were right on the aisle, so they were all lined up next to us. I didn't really have anything to ask, or we could have jumped right in line. But some of them, this scared me.
A little bit.
One guy looked like he was getting ready to just take out part of America.
America.
He had a great mullet. I loved his mullet.
And it goes to explain the capacity of The Walking Dead, because here we have the guy who's fighting for America, and then right in front of him we have the history.
For America.
Well, it was the history philosopher of how social, economic, and socio-psychopathic. I don't even know what his question was.
Where were you going with that? I don't know where you went with that.
Just the fact that we have
serial sociopathic, is that a word?
We have a guy who basically
combine 8 words and make it one.
You absolutely can.
You cannot.
Yes, you can.
No.
But he's wearing an American flag right behind a guy who's like an educated philosopher type dude. And that's just interesting how it goes that spectrum for the show.
Oh, it was very interesting. It was a good long talk, and there were a lot of actually interesting questions. It wasn't a whole lot of pandering, except for Howard Stern wannabe. He was really kissing Kirkman's butt a lot.
Because Kirkman's basically buying the network from him at this point.
At this point, yeah. He's like, thank you for my job. Thank you.
I guess the one thing for the spinoff series, the Fear of the Walking Dead, that'll be on this summer. And what I thought was really interesting, the fact that everybody was saying, oh, it's a spinoff. We're going to start at the beginning. And then when you get to the end of the series, you're going to wake up and Rick comes out of a coma. And he said that is not what's going to happen. So that was a relief for me, actually.
I kind of wanted it to be like, I really thought it was going to be like that. So I was looking forward to that as an option.
Well, I was hoping it was actually going to be Rick waking up in Alexandria at the end of season 5.
And Shane shoots him in the face.
And it was
changes
a dream. The whole thing was a dream.
They just, what was it, Dallas? Is that Dallas that did like the JR?
The JR.
Bobby.
Bobby Ewing. Yep.
Well, let's get into the actual show or some of the stuff we're going to talk about. We've only got an hour, so we got to do it a lot faster than we normally do. But since we don't have Justin doing his long spiel and Scott saying he's being crucified and Brian stumbling, I think we'll be fine. First, actually, a little piece of news that came out right before we started recording, came out yesterday. Katie Sackhoff is getting another show, which it's going to really, I don't know if that's going to interrupt Longmire at all. I don't really know how that affects it. But it's created by her, and it's called Rain. It's described as an evolutionary parable that gives us a look into our possible future as a species viewed through the eyes of a soldier named Rain. I don't know what any of that means, but it sounds cool, and I like Katie Sackhoff.
I absolutely love Katie Sackhoff. It seemed like it was like Edge of Tomorrow meets some dystopian future society is the way mm-hmm. I kind of pictured it. And I don't know if that's going to be interesting or if that's going to be been there, done that, but it's got Katie Sackhoff in it, so we'll watch it anyway.
Yeah, and the Deadline article stated that Longmire was picked up, because it was picked up for season 4 by Netflix. So there's a good opportunity for her to still do that show. They didn't say that she was leaving. They said that she's still a co-star of it. But I don't think it's going to disrupt that. So if you're a Longmire fan, I think she's still on the show.
Yeah, recording depends on the location of where you're at. So as long as it's close by, jump on a plane, you're good.
I think she films that in Montana. I don't think it's by anything that they're going to do. Nothing. Okay, now our first topic that we're going to touch on, and we're going to do a format a little different because it is a live show. We can't do things the way we normally would do them because we don't have all the equipment. So we're just going to jump into like the summer movie season. That's the first thing we're going to talk about. It is upon us, and our summer movie preview episode is going to be out April 21st. So we're going to get ahead of ourselves just a little bit. What does it take, Troy, for you? Because the expense for both the tickets and the treats, what does it take to get you to go to a theater these days?
At this point, everything at home is so great. So for me, it has to be something that is shot specifically for IMAX, mm-hmm. be on IMAX, be in 3D, have that nice sound capability. And
you can talk and make fun of us as
totally,
you walk by.
Absolutely.
It's perfectly fine. What's that?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, well, if you really liked it, I did it myself. I did this whole thing myself. We're talking about our setup for anybody listening. I don't know what... Use your imagination. People are listening.
It's the smallest box shift I've ever seen.
It is. It's very portable.
And it
very
sounds
portable.
Great.
It does.
It's a double-sided
one. It is.
Just
yes.
Found out
there you go.
I did not know that. Did you know that?
I'm always double-sided.
Double-sided is the best.
It is. It sounds double-sided is the best. People listening to this have no idea what we're saying, and I'm not going to tell them at all.
Size doesn't.
That is not what I've been told, ever. That has never been when size does matter.
It sounds like she's a listener of the show normally.
Yeah. Thanks for stopping.
Thanks for stopping by.
Thanks for stopping.
You bet. Yeah, but I was saying IMAX, 3D, made for IMAX specifically. So I'm really excited not to jump ahead, but mm-hmm. the Crouching Tiger sequel is coming for IMAX only. And I think that's one of those things where it really gets me to come to the theater, because if I'm going to spend the money, I'm going to spend the money.
The Crouching Tiger?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
That'll get you to a theater, but no, it has to be just a big event.
It has to be a big event. So we'll get in some of those in a minute. But, yeah, if it's just a standard, like Imitation Game, I'm not going to go to the theater to watch Imitation Game or Birdman.
Why not, though? I mean, it's still a great movie.
And that's just it. It's a great movie, so I don't want to be interrupted by the jerk in the front row that turns on his phone or forgets to turn off his phone and the kids that are screaming and crying and stuff.
I just have a very negative opinion of filmgoers. I want to watch the film.
I want to be in the story.
People are so respectful nowadays.
No, they're not.
Can you hear the snark?
They're not at all.
Well, what about because you have kids?
Expensive as hell.
You have young kids, so
it sucks.
I'm sure they want to see movies at the theater sometimes. Something comes out, SpongeBob, whatever kids are into. I don't know. What are kids like now?
I got news for you. You know what my kid said? My kid said, let's go see the DreamWorks film. And I was like, you know what? Just go home.
Your kid said the DreamWorks film.
You're going to watch it at home.
Is that the name of the movie?
The Home, yeah. Oh. Home is the name of the movie.
Is that why you shouted it at me like eight times?
Go home.
People are staring at us. Don't like watch it at the each other. Look at this poor guy. He's like, what are you idiots doing? He said, go home.
Go home.
That's what he said.
Watch Home at home. Don't waste your money at the theater.
So what will it take? You won't take them to it because you don't love them enough?
For me, it's like if it's a date night thing where I'm taking my wife out, it's fine. I'll pay the money for the date night thing because it's an experience with my wife. It has to be like Pixar quality if I'm taking the kids, because the problem is that I'm going to buy it anyway. So why would I spend $45 plus treats at the theater when I could spend $20 on iTunes and it looks just as good?
I can't really argue that, and I don't have little kids anymore, so...
But if I'm going to go see, like, Star Wars, Jurassic Park, Star Trek, Terminator, whatever...
So you'd do it for you, because you love you more.
Because I love me more. It's all about me.
And your children. You would cast your children to the wind. That's a nice way to look at it. Do you think, like, summer blockbusters get a pass because of... as far as story goes? Because I know a lot of people that are... That movie's great, and there's no story whatsoever. And I'm one of those... There's definitely movies. Fast Furious 7 is definitely one of those movies. Where there's the story doesn't matter, but there's a lot of flash. Do you think they get a pass because of that?
If the flash is good, then yes. But like if you're talking a certain body of water that you might actually be talking on mics.
A body of water?
A body of water, like a bay. Oh. If you're talking on a microphone.
Oh, don't start picking on Michael Bay.
Gotta be the Transformers movies growing
up. That was a long way to get to it. Just say his name.
I didn't want to rip him, but...
We only have 1 hour.
He's a poor guy, you know. He makes four movies, and he only had one that was good.
Four page and an anagram to get there.
Michael Bay, no. No.
You don't like any of his movies?
I really enjoyed, actually, the second Transformers movie because That's the one I hate the most. Because it had story. Wanted to see the eye candy.
Where was the story?
The whole tomb, and they had to go find the tomb.
The rapping robots?
Yeah. That was interesting. It was so different. Dope. It was something different.
Wicca, wicca, what? No, there was... I guess...
But you want the eye candy. That's the problem. You want the eye candy, I want the story.
I did like the... Those are movies I only want to see in a theater, though. I really only want to see them
in a theater. You can only see them in a theater.
The first one I like. I watched the first one over and over. Okay. The first Transformers I'll watch over
That's because Megan was still in the...
No, it had nothing to do with her acting
talent.
Oh, you
like Shia LaBeouf instead. Okay.
Yes. I actually do like him. Well, I did before he went crazy and started doing whatever it is he does now. But, yeah, I was a big fan of the first movie, and then it got really, really stupid. It's weird, all these people staring at you like we're in an aquarium. A human aquarium.
Or zoo speak
feed
well.
Us. We're in a zoo. Feed us. I'll take food.
Totally awesome, dude.
How's it going? Okay, so you think they do get a pass. Like, those kind of movies generally do get a pass. Even from critics.
I would think so. I mean, I'm already giving a pass to Terminator Genesis already for the summer. Because...
I've heard the new trailer really spoils the entire movie.
Stuff blows up. The end.
No, there's all kinds of physics involved, and
I'm interested to see where they take the time travel story. I mean, that part makes me excited to go to the theater to see it, but at the same time, they're bringing back Arnold, so then I'm like, oh, no, please, no.
They're bringing back Arnold, and they're doing the same thing they did with Salvation, which is they're doing the younger version of Arnold,
right?
Which looks so creepy. He's just, go find the old footage and superimpose it in. Do a Paul Walker with that and make him the old him be part of it. Don't take old him and try to make him new.
And I pray to God that's not what they're going to do for Star Wars 7 either.
Why? Who's going to be in Star Wars 7?
Well, all the original cast was coming back.
No, they're going to just be old.
They're just going to be old.
Carrie Fisher had a mandate for weight loss and stuff and dropped the Coke habit. Although, I think she's probably done with the Coke habit.
Justin is screaming at you now.
Sorry, Carrie. I don't care. He'll be all right. He's probably not even listening. He's too busy writing a book. Now, what have been for you, I guess, the most memorable of late summer blockbuster moments? For me, I know you're gathering your notes. All these people in their notes. I don't write any notes. I just wing it. Guardians of the Galaxy is probably the one that has got... Really?
Dude.
Why?
Either I am not a Marvel fan, that movie to me was absolutely dreadful to sit through.
I hope people cut you in your sleep. That's what I hope happens.
The only Avengers movie that I thought was good was The Avengers. I want to see them all at one time. But
you're saying out of their entire... Okay, so it's not just one movie because you had an issue Thor with a raccoon.
Thor was weird.
The entire catalog, really?
I'm not a Marvel fan. I'm just not a Marvel fan.
Okay.
I like X-Men.
You're wrong. But hey, you know what happens? I mean, opinions are cool, but you got to stop with that one.
No.
It'll get you killed.
Marvel, no. Star Wars, yes.
What's the difference?
They're both owned by Disney.
Yeah, well, they're
so they're both going to go.
It's a big difference, though. But they're both fantastical elements. I mean, so what is it about the superhero genre that you specifically don't like?
I didn't like the superhero genre. I just didn't like Guardians of the Galaxy. I thought that it was
hyped. You followed that up with, I don't like pretty much anything.
I tried Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. I tried Winter Soldier. I tried...
You didn't like Winter Soldier?
I didn't like Winter Soldier either. Because I was probably
turned... Do you like fun? Do you like people?
I was turned off from Winter Soldier because the TV show was so terrible. And then they said that the movie was going to launch the second half of the TV show.
But did you watch the movie?
No, because it...
So you haven't actually seen it.
I had no interest in the second half of the TV show, so I cut off the movie at the core.
But so you haven't... I just want to...
I have not seen the
movie. Just be clear, so you're saying...
The movie sucks and I did not see it. Yes, that's what I said.
You can't... No, we don't do that on this show. You have to have seen it to slam it, unless you're Justin.
I'm not interested in seeing it.
Okay.
I don't see it's good or bad.
Did you see the other ones?
I saw The Avengers. I saw the first and second and third Iron Man and the second
Iron
Man.
You didn't like any of those?
I liked the first Iron Man, and then I was like, why did you have to make two more?
Wow.
Which is how I felt with the second Thor. I was like, why did you have to make another one?
Do you have a lot of hurt you want to talk about? Because it sounds like your childhood sucked.
I love Batman and Superman. DC all the way.
That's what it is. Okay. So you just want your heroes dark and brooding.
Exactly.
I see. You don't want them fun.
I want them without parents.
Obviously. Obviously. Okay, well, going back to memorable moments, was last year at Guardians of the Galaxy when you were hating on it. A lot of us were going and having a great time, and that kind of was a conversation that continued for weeks. Same thing with Pacific Rim. That was a movie that really had zero story. It had...
No story.
No story. None. It's just
but it was
Godzilla
awesome.
Versus giant whatever.
Way better than Transformers.
It was way better than Transformers, and it was invigorating. It was enthralling. It was exciting, and... That's the kind of thing you want to see in a blockbuster movie. I'm really shocked they made a sequel because it didn't make much money, but we're getting a sequel anyway. What about you?
I'll take a sequel. Well, I mean, I have to go back because having kids, I don't get to the summer blockbusters.
Are we going to 80s or...
Yeah, 60s,
back?
You know. We're talking Casablanca here. No, I think the biggest one I got excited about...
That's 50s or 40s,
whatever.
I think.
It's old.
It's very important
it's old.
Information.
The biggest one was the Independence
Day. Hey, Daryl. What's going on?
Golden Spiral Media in the house. Yeah, media voiceovers. Up? Welcome.
We're live. Dance, monkey.
Dance. Dance, monkey, dance.
And they
jump,
actually
monkey,
did it.
Jump.
They actually did it.
Labyrinth. There you go.
What
except
do you guys...
It was a baby.
Troy is over here. We've got a live audience right now, so everybody listening, I hope I'm not confusing you. But Troy is over here saying that Marvel makes crappy movies.
Oh, snap!
Oh, did you hear that? That's a lynching.
I didn't say they make crappy movies. I said that I'm not interested in seeing them. I have no interest.
You kind of said they make crappy movies.
DC fan. That's what I said. I said I want...
He wants sadness.
I want sadness.
He wants all his heroes to be sad.
I want my superheroes to not have parents.
What's that? What's this? I couldn't hear you.
Marvel's a four-letter word.
Marvel's a four-letter word? What's the...
But it's five-letter...
What's the word?
Hashtag overheard at NMX. Marvel is a four-letter word.
Wow. All right, so tell me some of your memorable moments.
Well, I really loved Independence Day. I looked forward to Independence Day for, like, months.
It was 20 years ago. You haven't had fun since then?
No, I haven't, actually. All mine are old, but...
My most memorable moment happened in 1993.
So my most memorable summer blockbuster, Star Trek 2009.
Okay, what happened? Why was it most memorable?
Because it was like so long since a good Star Trek movie was on the big screen, and Star Trek was just a way that my wife actually went and saw the movie, and I was like, I was shocked. And then my wife was like, whoa, Star Trek's kind of cool. And I was like, victory is mine.
That is about the first time that they made a cool Star Trek.
It was awesome.
For general population.
And I suppose Inception was a summer movie. I did go to Inception as well, so I liked Inception. But yeah, like Jurassic Park, Terminator 2 was awesome because of the special effects they were doing back then, and Apollo 13.
What about recently? Anything last year or two?
No, because I have kids. I don't have money.
I have kids. Therefore,
all the money I have, all the money I have, I give to Golden Spiral Media.
Wow.
And Noodle Mix Network and The Hoe.
Wow, way to pimp yourself, like, just publicly.
Absolutely.
All at once. He just did everything he's ever done in his personal life. And back when I was 19, I worked for this one, this Chipotle.
I like burritos.
I do like burritos.
Give me a bowl.
Okay, so you don't have a whole lot of memorable ones right
recently,
now.
Recently, no.
What are you looking forward to this summer? Anything?
I am looking to everything this summer.
Now, are you looking forward to Avengers 2? Because
I am looking forward to Avengers 2 because I like Avengers.
You did like, not Avengers, of
Avengers.
Yeah. I don't know. Avengers is a different movie.
And I'm not necessarily looking forward to Avengers. I'm looking forward to Ultron because it is played by the voice of one, Raymond Red Reddington from James the Blacklist Spader. Exposed, James Spader.
I don't like Ultron as a character. I'll go on record as
I didn't say
that.
I like the character again. No. I said I like the voice of
I'm pretty sure
Ultron.
I saw the same movie in Iron Man 2. And probably Iron Man 3.
Yeah. Very similar.
What's that?
I thought it was
Age of Voltron. Yeah, Age of Voltron. You're
right. That's coming out.
They did
a
crossover.
That is a summer blockbuster I'm going to see if they make live action Voltron.
They did a crossover.
No Michael Bay on that one, please.
Oh, the Star Wars trailer is coming out.
Yes.
It is. It's coming out. It's supposed to be out, I think, with Avengers 2. You're going just for the trailer, so there are people that do that.
He's
going
to pay a $10 ticket, watch 20 seconds, and then go home.
No, it's 2.5 minutes.
Oh, it's going to be longer this time.
Yeah, it's going to be. It's supposed to show you some of the old people. And when I say old people, I mean Carrie Fisher, who's hanging on by a thread.
So it's going to be 30 seconds of trailer and yeah. 2 minutes of black.
I mean, seriously, they're going to wheel in a machine with her, a breathing apparatus. And Carrie Fisher's here? Well, that sucks. Sorry, Carrie. Love Leia in 1983. That was great.
But let's see. So coming out this summer, Pixels is high on my radar. Not so much for the, like you said, not for the story, because I'm sure it's going to be crappy comedy. Because I'm a great big Adam Sandler fan. But the graphics in it just look tremendous. And I like the original YouTube video
from
2012.
And it has Peter Dinklage with a badass mullet.
Totally.
That's pretty cool.
In a Mini Cooper. And just the fact that the Mini Coopers have the ghost license plates, I thought was funny.
Is that a short joke?
Yeah.
Is that what it is?
Totally.
Okay. That's rude now.
That's why it's,
now that I think about
that's
it,
why it's comedy. It's funny.
It's a little offensive. It's a little offensive.
He got in the car. It's his choice. I also am looking forward to Inside Out because I'm a dad with kids from Pixar. And
I thought you said you don't take your kids to see Pixar movies or to see movies in theaters.
There hasn't been a Pixar movie
because you don't love them.
In 2 summers, so I'm going to see a Pixar movie in the theater this time.
Okay.
And, of course, I am a big Britt Robertson fan, so Tomorrowland is very high on the radar just for Britt. Oh, and that George Clooney guy, if you go that way.
Brad Bird.
And Brad Bird.
Brad Bird is a great director.
But Burt Robertson, yes.
Absolutely.
Longest Ride. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Hey, Wayne, you want to come back and say Lost real quick? Do you want to say Lost? I know you're a big Lost fan. Do you want to give a shout-out? Wayne Henderson is a voiceover actor, and he's also a friend of the podcast. Say hi. Say hi. Go ahead.
Yes, if we're here to talk about Lost, I'm all in every time, anytime.
Can you do some voiceover actor stuff? Like, what is a voiceover actor?
Can you be the voice
do?
Of Ultron?
You're currently listening to Aaron Peterson and Troy Heinrichs on The Hollywood Outsider.
Oh, that's so good.
Wow.
That's very sexy. I wish I could do that. I don't have that cool voice. He has a great, sexy voice, doesn't he?
Yeah.
You do. Seriously. You should just walk into bars with a bullhorn. That's what you should do. And I think, married or not, I think you'd have a good... You'd do well.
Yeah, you're not a hand model.
You're not a hand model. Nice.
Hashtag overheard at NMX.
So what else are you looking forward to? What else?
That was it. Yeah, Tomorrowland, Jurassic World. Actually, Jurassic World is interesting. My wife loves Jurassic so much that she is demanding that we take the children to go see it. And I'm like, whoa, wait a minute. We gotta watch it first.
Demanding?
At least once. Demanding.
Can you make demands when it's like $40 out of your pocket?
It's fine by me. If she wants to take the kids, and as long as she's going to sleep in their room and they have nightmares and I can have the bed to myself, I'm all good with that.
I want to see Mad Max really bad.
And I mean... It's on my radar. I'm interested.
Did
I think
you
I'm
watch the
wait.
Original Mad Max?
Absolutely.
Did you?
Yeah, I'm just waiting. I'm waiting to see what the feedback and reception is from it before I commit my money to that one. Because it could be really good or it could be really bad.
I do. The one concern I have, and everybody is hyping the last two trailers that have come out for it, but if you really go watch those trailers, it seems like it's just one chase. Like, it's not the entirety of the movie. It's... One chase, fantastic chase, but cut up into 2.5 minutes. And I didn't get a feel for the entire scope of the movie, which is a plus and a minus, because I think a lot of people want trailers to stop telling us so much. But on the same token, I want a better feel for what the scope of the movie is going to be.
So if I understand what you're saying that the new Mad Max movie is no different than the Phantom Menace.
No, Phantom Menace had a trailer that showed you something.
It was 4 hours of chase in a pod race, and then it was 2 minutes of story.
Fair, Fair enough. I'm saying I think there's a lot more to the movie than we're seeing in the trailer.
Oh,
so I don't really know what that direction of that trailer is going to be.
Gotcha.
Okay, well, one thing that we always do on the show is people are taking pictures. Hey, what's
nice.
Up?
Nice.
How you doing?
Good morning. How are you?
How
hello.
You doing? I want
hello.
A point. I want to be
podcaster,
cool.
Podcaster, podcaster, and podcaster.
That's weird. Now we're definitely in an aquarium. Or a zoo.
Do you speak whale?
Someone feed us. Seriously. I'll catch it. Throw it. Throw kibble. We always review movies on the show. Obviously, there's a couple movies that are out or coming out that I want to recommend real quick before we move on to what Troy's going to talk about. I saw Unfriended at South By not too long ago, and that's a movie that we talked about on our most recent podcast, but I also want to mention it again. It's a horror movie where basically six friends are on a Skype call, and one of their... basically, an old friend of theirs committed suicide a year before because she was shamed and publicly shamed by her friends, and we didn't know exactly who did what or how that affected them, et cetera, et cetera. Well, the movie takes place over that one call, and what they do throughout that call is a random Skype individual pops into the conversation and says basically that she's the ghost of the person that died. So throughout the movie, it is played as one long take, almost like a play, where each character is handed a certain fate throughout the movie, and we don't know, is it a ghost? Is it fake? You know, what really is going on until the very end? It's a very interesting way to do a horror movie. It's an interesting take, and I highly recommend you guys check that out. I think if $10 full price admission, I gave that one $6.
So if
are you interested in that one? Do you like horror movies?
If I hear what you're saying right, if we're male podcasters right now here at
we
Media
are,
Expo.
We are male. I don't know what male
this is a scary version of the Lawnmower Woman.
Kind of, yeah, sure. Yeah. Sure. That's one way to look at it, I suppose. Do you like horror movies?
I do like horror movies.
What kind do you like?
I was into The Grudge. I like The Ring. I like the suspense thriller, not the cheesy, oh my God,
do
it's
like
behind
more,
the door.
More supernatural than slasher,
yeah.
Sort of thing?
I mean, no, Texas Chainsaw Massacre's fine. Freddy's fine. The original Halloween is fine.
I would say Freddy is probably a supernatural.
Yeah, a little bit, yeah, because of the dream sequence, I suppose. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But yeah, it has to be something that's more mysterious than don't open the closet. She's behind the closet. Don't you open the closet. No, I don't like that.
I know. Why do they open the closet?
I know.
I mean, you know she's there. Or the cat. Either one. Which, why do people keep locking their cats in closets? I'll never understand.
Now, that's a movie I'd like to see. The killer comes out of the closet. Part two.
Go watch any Friday the 13th movie or Halloween movie. I'm sure there's at least one part where the killer comes out of the closet. The other one that I saw is Ex Machina. I always say it wrong. Ex Machina, something like that. I don't really know how you
and
say it.
And not Deuce Ex Machina.
Ex Machina.
Hiya!
But it's basically about Caleb is brought to a research facility. He thinks he won a trip, and really what he's brought there to do is to do a test with an AI, with a female AI known as Ava.
Ooh.
And essentially what... Have you heard about this?
No.
Okay. Well, essentially what he's brought there to do is determine can a robot, basically, you know, real fully customized AI in a robot shell that's basically has female skin, can you at some point come to feel that she is real? And throughout the movie, you know, it goes a certain direction, but it definitely addresses certain things like, are we being irresponsible by pursuing such revolutionary AI, artificial intelligence for those not in the know? Are we overstepping our bounds? Could AI actually be the future, or is developing that taking away our future? You know, there's a lot of questions that come up throughout the course of the film. Honestly, one of the best science fiction movies I can remember ever seeing. Just very, very smart and sharp.
So what you're telling me is that it's Scarlett Johansson's Her downloaded into a Cylon.
It's like Chappie. Did you ever see Chappie?
No, because it got deadpan.
Yeah,
so
it was really
bad. I saved my money.
Don't see Chappie. But it's like Chappie mixed with Her. Yeah, it's kind of like that. But it takes a smarter look. I thought Her was a really good movie and it was very smart. But this is kind of like the next step.
So Johnny Five finally gets a girlfriend in Short Circuit for Short Circuit 3?
Kind of. It's a little deeper than that. I don't think you should see it. I don't think you should be allowed to see it at this point. I think you should be grounded from seeing smart movies. We also, you know, every week on the show we do a version of our trivia game. So this week we're going to do a flashback where we talk about a film that one of us saw, which is going to be Troy since he's a guest. that is currently streaming, and you saw, what did you see, Mud?
I saw this show, movie, Mud, from 2012.
Was it a show or a movie?
It was a movie.
All right.
It was 2 hours. It was long.
Well, tell us about Mud.
Mud is actually a really interesting story. So when Aaron asked me to pick something, I started looking, and this is the great thing about the internet. I was like, what are the top 100 movies on Netflix? Google, and boom, there they were. So I have a very strict pecking order for how I watch movies. I am, like I said already, a big Britt Robertson fan.
Mm-hmm.
And then after that, it probably goes up the scale a little bit to the point of Reese Witherspoon. So anything Reese-related, I am
anything
all there. Anything Reese-related. Overnight Delivery, love Overnight Delivery, it's great. With Paul Rudd also. But so Reese was in Mud, and I was like, okay, I'll watch Mud. And then Reese really wasn't in the movie that much.
She's in the movie like 5 minutes, if I remember.
Yeah, totally.
I saw it when it came out in the theater, yeah.
But Mud is basically a story about a boy named Ellis. He basically is dealing with some parental issues at home, and he has a good friend whose name is...
Isn't that rude when you're talking and somebody's taking a picture? That's pretty cool.
Neckbone, I believe it was, if I remember correctly, who looks like a young River Phoenix from Stand By Me, kind of, in this movie. I almost thought it was for a minute.
That's a good point, yeah.
And then they...
Ty Sheridan is the kid's name.
Ty Sheridan, yes. And they live in Arkansas on the Mississippi, so immediately I was kind of gravitated toward this from a Tom Sawyer, Huck Finn kind of concept.
Mm-hmm.
And they go out to this island because they find a boat up in a tree. And it starts from there because, of course, someone is living in that boat.
Of course.
Dun, dun, dun.
A sexy someone, if I recall.
Not so sexy in this movie. So if you like Matthew McConaughey and you think I'm sexy, this is not the movie for you. But he does have his shirt off quite a bit in this episode.
He's got a shirt off in anything he's ever done.
Yeah.
It's required.
But he has,
he
has a gap in his teeth, though, which was really off-putting for a
minute. Yeah, that's true. That's true.
But this story basically finds these two boys are basically helping Mud, who is living on this island waiting for his girlfriend to come back and join him so that they can escape together, because it's like this off and on relationship that they have, and she loves him but then leaves him and goes out with the wrong crowd, to the point where Mud actually ends up killing somebody, and that's where the conflict of the movie basically goes from there. And as I was watching it, I found myself enjoying the Huck Finn Tom Sawyer concept. I really love the scenery of Arkansas. I love the kind of father-son relationship between Ellis and his dad. And then Sarah Paulson plays his mother, which I thought was great to see Sarah Paulson in the movie as well.
Mm-hmm.
And then they have this Tom character who lives across the water, and he's a sniper. And I thought that was a great part of the show, is that the sniper guy actually kind of raised Mud, because Mud didn't really have a father. So I love the relationship of the sons to the fathers. So from that perspective, I enjoyed it. I thought it was a little slow watching it. It is 2 hours and 10 minutes. And Reese wasn't in it as much as I thought she would be. But all in all, I thought it was a good...
You're actually bummed in the movie because Reese Witherspoon wasn't in it as much?
That's the only reason I've started to watch. I was like, Reese, done, signed up.
Okay.
And then, so all in all, from a coming-of-age movie, like a Stand By Me, if you're into that sort of thing, really, really great. It got 98% on Rotten Tomatoes, so you can't be wrong, you know. So people are loving it. It's a top 100 on Netflix, and you can stream it.
What do
you think? I'm still kind of letting it sit with me. I just watched it 2 days ago, and...
Well, how much are you going to let it sit?
I have to let it sit for a while because
that means you didn't like it, isn't it? Isn't that what it means?
I don't want to hate it, but it was just so drawn out.
I promise you, Matthew McConaughey is not listening to this.
It could have been an hour and 40 minutes, and I probably would have liked it, because it got to the point where there was three times they showed a specific area of this island.
Okay,
and there was, of course, you're like, oh, okay, you're showing me three things. That's going to be some big tragedy or something that happens in that spot, and it, you know, it played out that. So it was kind of predictable in that sense, but how it progressed from that made the movie almost redeem itself.
Okay.
So from that perspective, I'd give it, you know, if I saw it in the theaters, I'd probably give it $7.
Okay. That's pretty good. That's exactly what I gave it when I saw it.
Okay.
So you're spot on. Now you want to talk about something you really love talking about?
Sure.
Okay. We're going to move into our second topic for this live show, and that's TV mythologies, which, you know, we both co-host. How you doing, Alfonso? What's that?
What's up?
I haven't done that in forever. We both co-host The Blacklist Exposed, which is a podcast that's directly focused on The Blacklist, the TV show The Blacklist. And we do that kind of like a side project. But each week we...
Side project for you, not for me.
Yeah. Big project for you, side project for me. And each week we kind of dive into the mythology of Red Reddington and Liz and the people on the show that... make that mythology. So we're going to talk about TV mythologies because it seems to be something that comes up quite a bit.
You know, beginning with shows like X-Files, continuing with shows like Lost, and then really, I mean, the last 5 or 10 years has just been off the radar with every show seems to have a mythology. Well, first off, how would you define a true mythology versus just a serialized show? Because there is a difference.
There absolutely is a difference.
So how would you define that?
I usually base it off of the concept of Veronica Mars, for me. So Veronica Mars was a show that had an A story in season one and then had kind of three sections of B stories, and then each week was a C story. So serialized in that sense that each episode stood alone and that it developed into a larger payoff, but the payoff was in one season.
Okay.
So then the other side of the coin would be something like you get a nugget in the pilot and that nugget doesn't pay off until the very last episode of whatever season is in the future.
That's how you would define it?
Those are the two separations okay. for me.
Yeah, I consider serialized anything that it just continues. Like, I would never consider, like, Walking Dead a mythology show, because it's not really about mythology. It's just a continuation of whatever that story, those characters are, and it's a natural evolution of characters. It's not CSI Miami. It's not CSI LA. It's not CSI Oklahoma, whatever.
See, I don't classify those as serial. I classify those as one and done.
Well... Those are procedurals.
Procedural,
but
yes.
Walking Dead,
that's what I was looking
but Walking
for.
Dead is definitely a serialized show because
yes.
it continues and it never goes back unless there's maybe a flashback or Tyrese has an episode. But it's generally a serialized show and it goes forward.
It'd be mythology if they had the actual end game of curing the zombie apocalypse, which is not the case
and,
from what we heard from the panel
had,
this morning.
Yeah, if they had certain episodes where possibly, you know, they introduce little things that pay off later and they become bigger things, you know, or a small element that leads them to a cure, like you're saying, that would be more of a mythology-heavy show. I don't know what I'm saying. We're so tired. It's Vegas and we're up
It's
early.
A lot of walking.
It's a lot of walking and it's a late night. The mythology is much... stronger in shows like
say it
Lost,
X-Files.
I was trying to
Alias.
Avoid it, but really X-Files pioneered that. I mean, they were really the first show that I can recall on it, and I'm sure there's other ones, and somebody's probably writing an email right now, feedback@thehollywoodoutsider.com. There are definitely shows before that, but X-Files is really the show that pioneered taking small nuggets, like you said, of story and interspersing them, throwing them out throughout the series, and then building to where it became bigger than the series itself, really. I mean, almost bigger than the characters, too, Mulder and Scully. So, you know, not many shows have done that and done it extremely well. And now you see a lot of shows. I mean, almost every show feels like it's trying to do that. You've got Arrow, like this guy in front of me, he does an Arrow show. Arrow does that. You've got basically every superhero show, every show on television, it feels like it's trying to do it to some degree. So why do you think mythologies are so big?
Are those really mythologies, though? You would consider Gotham and Arrow and Flash mythologies?
I would consider Arrow, kind of, because, yeah, I would.
Versus
I would.
Serialized?
Because you've got some of the, you know, you've got Ra's al Ghul, you've got Legion of Assassins, Brian Kane. Would you consider, hey, I haven't actually met you in person, Aaron, how you doing? We're talking about Arrow a little bit. Would you consider Brian Kane does a podcast called
The Arrow Squad,
and he's going to pop over here just for a second if he can get in. Want to ask you a real quick question? All right,
What's
that's
question?
the cool thing about a live show. You can just pop people in and out.
Yeah.
Do you think Arrow has a mythology, or do you think it's just a serialized show?
That's a good question.
Well, good. Then answer. You can't take forever. It's a live show, man.
Kind of, people are waiting out here, yeah. You know?
Well, man. Yeah, come in.
Come in. What do you think?
I'm going to go mythology.
Okay, why do you think mythology? Because I believe, I said with Ra's al Ghul and the Legion of Assassins and some of the other things.
Tell me your thoughts first. Let's go there first.
I just feel like you have different elements that keep popping into and adding to the mythology of that show. And you have several elements that... can be introduced in season one that in season three or four can pop up, and it's very revolutionary to where the characters go from there as well as to where they've been. So for me, that feels like a mythology. It doesn't feel so just a serialized show. It feels more mythology.
I think they have the first 5 years planned out for the most part. I mean, they're definitely going to throw surprises, and they're going to change kind of based on the, you know, how the fans, you know, how they react to certain things.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, I think they are going to definitely... you know, kind of look at it from the standpoint of that. You've got your flashbacks that go 5 years because he was on that island for, well, on the island.
Yeah,
I'm doing my quotes here, you know.
So that's why it's a mythology, because it was about the island.
Exactly. So, you know, there's 5 years of backstory that's going to lead into where he's at today, of course. But I think after that, that's a great question. But I would say for at least the first 5 years, that's why I was saying mythology.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, thanks, man.
Do you agree, Troy? Or am I just, you know?
Well, Aaron said specifically that it was like superhero stuff could be considered mythologies. So maybe for you, for Arrow, based on your explanation, because you are the expert, Mr. Kane, I'll agree with you for Arrow. But I don't see like Flash or Gotham being mythology shows.
No, I don't see those. I don't think they have established nearly as much as Arrow has at this point.
I think Gotham, no offense, is still trying to figure out what they're trying to do.
I'm not even sure it's a television show at this point. I don't even know what it is. It's kind of like, hey, how can we get those villains and just get them younger and stick them in the show? How can we do that?
Yeah. What about Flash, though? Because Flash, at this point, they're just kind of bouncing off of Arrow and then trying to kind of figure out their footing. But they are going somewhere, mm-hmm. and there could be some mythology from the comics. They're going very comic book heavy versus, you know, Arrow's going more TV heavy. So what do you think about that?
Well, I guess that's a question I'll throw back to Aaron.
Okay.
Because if we're based on my way I set this up was that mythology shows are set up something in like the pilot and then it doesn't pay off for a very long time versus the serialized show has a definite conclusion for the season, even though it can keep going on. So your question again was, do I think Flash is a mythology show? And based on that, I would say no, because I don't know if the stuff that was in the pilot is going to get paid off in the long term, because I feel like each season seems to be kind of standing on its own and setting up itself.
Well, and they keep changing things. I don't know if you... Have you watched any of it?
Yes.
Can I spoil things here?
No. We don't spoil on that.
That's why I wasn't going there.
So, you know, they're talking about different things that happen to change as they do certain things. How's that for not spoiling
anything? That sounds
anything?
Pretty good, yeah. Things, stuff.
So they can just, you know, good. It's like Star Trek. How about that?
Okay. Yeah, no, that works.
I'll just leave it at that.
All right, that works.
But Star Trek is a universe, not a mythology.
Thanks, Brian, and that's Aero Squad. Good luck at the podcast awards, by the way.
What's your, where can they find you, Brian?
Where can they find us? They can go to aerosquad.com or profitcastuniverse.com. And you and I are we doing the robe thing tonight for the podcast awards? We're going to go on stage in the robes. We got great robes here at the Westgate.
You're going to go on stage in the robes?
Yeah. Robes and slippers.
Nice.
If we win.
Very classy. I like it.
Just kidding. Thanks, guys.
Well, good luck at the awards, Brian.
Thank you. You too.
So Scott, or Scott, you're not Scott.
I am not
Scott,
a teacher by
Scott,
any means.
Scott no, is somewhere
you do not
else.
Want your children learning from me. I'll tell you that right now.
Poor Scotty. I know he wishes he could be here, too. He's really excited. Scott, shout out. I know you're really wishing you could be here. Justin was thinking about it. Brian was like, if I got there, I know it'd be awesome, but I got stuff to do.
Well, Brian's helping Mud get off the island still.
He probably is. So what do you like? You know, we really like mythologies because we do a show about it. So what do you like about ongoing mythologies?
I like the fact that if I'm going to invest, it's kind of like the movie thing with the money. So in this case, in TV land, TV is time. And so if I'm going to invest my time, I don't want something that it's 40 minutes in and out and I forget about it the next day. I want to be part of a community, part of a people that would like to talk about it and theorize and think and that sort of stuff, because then it becomes something more in my life, which probably is bad because I should probably be reading a book or something,
mm-hmm.
or spending time with my family and my kids. But that's why I like it. I gravitate towards longer form stories. I read The Dark Tower, read, you know, Tolkien, and I if it's 100 pages of a book, yeah, no thanks. Same concept.
Same thing. The reason I like mythology in a series, and really I think X-Files is really the bug that bit me with that one, and I'm sorry to keep mentioning it, but it was the first one that really introduced it. You know, a lot of people will reference Lost, and I get that. Lost is a great show, heavy on mythology, but X-Files is really the one that cemented it.
So I have a question for you,
mm-hmm.
because X-Files is your favorite. Yet it didn't give you any answers.
Well, I'll
yet
get
you,
there.
Yet I'll you, get, you, the, you, very, dead, you deadpan Lost all the time for not giving you any answers. How is it any different?
Very next question, you can ask me that.
There's a softball for you.
Hold that thought. Come back to it.
Okay.
So mythology, I like when a show has mythology because I feel like we are... He's holding on to it. But bump.
For the live audience.
Wow. That really just happened. Mythology I like because you're getting questions that are posed and it gives you more of an involvement in every episode because you're always looking, you're overlooking, you're constantly rechecking, you're rewatching, you're
focusing, you're obsessing, you're doing all these. It gives you something, an obsession that you wouldn't have had with a normal show, with a show like Scorpion, which is a great show, but it's a procedural. And, you know, I can watch one episode and not watch it again for 6 months and then watch another episode and I'm fine. Whereas those mythology-heavy shows, you have to watch every week, and they become almost obsessions.
They become stressful because when you get behind, then you're like, oh, my gosh, I'm behind. I got to take a day off of work.
Exactly. So, okay, now pose your question.
What was your question again? So you complain to me all the time that Lost didn't tell you anything and that you're frustrated by the ending.
That's not what I say. Yes, I say about the island that it,
there's a lot of unresolved stuff.
That ending,
period.
Without spoiling anything, gives me a wonderful ending for the characters. It gave me a half-assed ending for the island itself.
Well, of course,
the people that love it will love the ending. Will say, well, the reason why is because it was never about the island. Well,
it's about the characters.
You spend an awful lot of time on that island doing island stuff with smoky stuff.
You spend an awful lot of time driving on the road. Are you going to tell me that you want to know what the concrete was built out of in Walking Dead when it's about the characters?
It seems like you've had a whole lot of time to prepare these rebuttals to your
Robert Kirkman helped me out this morning on the panel. He's like, it's about the characters.
It is about the characters. But they also introduced a lot of stuff that the island was also a character in the show. Mm. And they did not address that particular character as well as I think could have been done.
It's just pretty scenery.
With a smoke monster and a polar bear.
They resolved the smoke monster. They resolved the polar bear. The island itself
doesn't...
Resolved. We know where the smoke monster came from. We know who the smoke monster was. We know how that smoke monster was created.
Okay, back
and
to
you know
X-Files.
Where the, and you know where the polar bears come from.
How does this relate to the X-Files?
Well, but my question was you complain about Lost, but yet the X-Files had the exact same problems of not answering the big questions.
I will be the first to tell you, I absolutely hated the X-Files ending. I don't... Lost was perfect compared to the X-Files ending. The X-Files ending was awful. It was abysmal. It was poorly handled on just about every front, honestly.
Is that why they're making 6 more episodes? Because they have to finish it?
I hope so. I mean, they had the movie, which, you know, I want to believe, which I know some people didn't like. But for me, it gave me the closure the series finale didn't give me. It wasn't as strong as I'd hoped. But, man, the finale for the actual series, the whole we're going to go to trial, it's going to be like X-Files Matlock or whatever. It just did not work at all. And, you know, and now there's people now that will apologize for it, or, you know, that will constantly tell me how, oh, you just didn't get it. No, I got that show. That episode was awful. It was an awful way to go. Everything about that writing was bad. So I...
Was it because it was Matlock instead of Night Court? Is that the issue?
No, it might have been. No, it's because they didn't address their own mythology. They created a huge conundrum and had no idea how to get themselves out of it. So they just... I mean, Chris Carter just did a piss-poor job of writing, really.
Do you think it was the first movie that ruined it? Because the first movie set up this kind of alliance,
because the first
and then it
movie,
didn't really pan out from there.
The first movie happened around the 5th season, and... How's it going, man? Hollywood Outsider, yeah? Because we're outside.
We're outside of Hollywood.
Only right now we're inside, so we're going to change the name for a minute.
Thanks
for coming by. Thanks for coming by. All right, where were we at?
X-Files.
I totally agree. But I also, I think, you know, it definitely wasn't, it just wasn't very good. Very good. Let's move on. We only got 10 more minutes left. How long do you think a show should go with the mythology before it really needs to wrap it up? Do you think there's a time limit?
There is a time limit. And I'm going to cite actually 3 shows.
Okay.
And they're all from the same Bad Robot Production Society. One, J.J. Abrams, Alias, Lost, and Fringe. And if you actually watch all 3 of these shows, you will notice that by the end of season 3, it was at its pinnacle point of awesomeness. Mm-hmm. And then season 4 happened, and you literally wanted to be like, what just happened to my show? This sucks.
I never watched Fringe. I'm like, the only, I never watched it. Sorry.
And Daryl Darnell is standing here in the audience. He did a Fringe podcast, along with Wayne Henderson, who did a Fringe podcast. And they will probably agree, or maybe not totally agree, at least
give us a
on the
up.
Microphone.
Did Fringe screw the mythology up
season,
as it went?
Season 3 was like at the height of Fringe, and then season 4 went...
It was a bad step.
You agree? Yep, Wayne agrees.
We liked how it finished, but season 4 was hard to get through.
So basically... They got caught up on the runway, is what we're saying. All right.
Okay, same thing. Thumbs up, thumbs down. Season 3 of Lost, and then season 4 of Lost.
He went to the Hawaii Lost experience.
Hashtag fanboy.
So, I mean, really, he's not going to diss that show.
Wayne Henderson. Season 3 of Lost, season 4 of Lost. Did you like season 4?
Were there any bad seasons of Lost for you?
No, every season of Lost was its own unique level of amazing.
Wow, I'm just in a sea of blindness. That's what I'm in.
I loved them all, and I stand by the finale as being fantastic.
Okay. Okay, one more. Alias. Season 3 was awesome, and then season 4 was like a nosedive.
Yeah, I'll give you that.
Season 4 was bad on Alias.
Okay.
Yeah.
But I still...
I still love it. It wraps up good.
So I'm 66%. I do better than the most of major, all of Major League Baseball at this point. And the weatherman.
Okay, so what do you think the time limit should be?
I would say 3 years and wrap it up with a two-hour movie.
So you think any mythologically heavy show should wrap up within 3 years?
I have to take that back, because now we have this whole like, well, is it 13 episodes or 16 episodes or 10 episodes or 22 episodes? I think that if you can tell your story in a condensed methodology to be around the, I'm going to say the 60-episode mark, and then a two-hour movie to finish it, like a good two-hour Hollywood-type style effects and all that jazz, I think that'd be a good way to just button it up at the right time.
Okay.
And if you want to do a spinoff or an origin story or something from there and keep the genre or the area alive. I mean, like, a good one is like Babylon 5. They wrote 1,000 years of universe for Babylon 5. Really thought it out, and that you only saw this little tiny part of it. So Babylon 5 could go on forever, but the characters that you're with for that finite period of time needed to be that finite period of time.
I kind of agree. I really think, like, you know, we're fans of The Blacklist, and that has a pretty fairly heavy mythology. And by season 3, you're going to have 60 episodes, and they're already getting really tight on stretching that story out. So they need to, our opinion, is probably, like, wrap that mythology up. Start a new one if you want. I mean, start something fresh. You can always innovate. But the more you drag it out, the more you're really hurting your audience. You're diluting it. You're getting them disinterested. You start getting some bad mouthing. I mean, Lost got lucky, but they also cut their episode count back some.
Which helped because you didn't have the filler episodes.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, all those things, they matter.
Now, a counterpoint to that, though, would be a show like Covert Affairs, which was my knockoff Alias because I needed a female kick-butt CIA person. In Piper Perabo, and it actually introduced a character in season 1 that by season 4 was actually more integral into the story, and I really enjoyed the fact that they brought that character back as the main focus for season 4, and it was kind of in there in season 2 and 3, but it was like, wow, season 4 was probably the best season of Covert Affairs.
Now, do you think...
But that's because they restarted it. It was a different storyline. Yeah.
Do you think Battlestar Galactica was mythology, or is that serialized? Because I consider that serialized. That was just like a portion of time followed through, but it also did have that, you know, with...
Because it introduced the... I don't want to give it away because that's probably a spoiler if you haven't seen the new one. There is a
it introduces an element.
There is a musical...
That keeps coming back.
There's a musical theme in the show, and that musical theme was there from the beginning, and it pays off in the end based on my definition, so I would say mythology.
Okay.
Especially because they did Caprica, even though it was awful to watch... It was very interesting to hear about the history of the Cylons, how they were created, how resurrection technology became to be, going back to your AI film and downloading it into a robot. Because it was able to spin off another show and then spin off a movie in between Caprica and Battlestar Galactica and Blood and Chrome, I think it makes it a mythology because it has that universe to grow in.
Okay. I think we got to get close to wrapping the show up. We've got about 4 or 5 minutes here. And I know we've kind of gone on and off the format, but that's probably what we expected with a live show. It's just part of doing it. And so far, we've had a great time.
Yeah,
it's
been good.
Yeah. What are you watching right now? Like, what are you watching on TV that you're really
like
excited
this
about?
Minute? Like my entire list, or right now in April?
Right now, you're recording, so you shouldn't be watching anything.
Yep.
Now, Scott does that. He does that during our podcast. He's like watching TV. And,
well, I'm people watching right now. There's a lot of interesting people walking by. So.
They are. Hi, interesting people.
So on my DVR this second, Orphan Black, season 3 premiere.
Is that
just
really good? I have not watched it.
Awesome. She plays 10 different characters.
She's
and
like
all
a clone
10
of herself, right?
All 10 characters look completely different. You wouldn't, like, if you didn't know she was playing all 10 different characters, you would swear it's a different actress. It is that good.
Okay.
And there's a twist at the end of season two that I can't give away that you will absolutely love that brings up the season three plot line. But that just started.
I have to watch that.
Just started. It's awesome. I did pick up Secrets and Lies on ABC just because.
That is surprisingly good.
Way better than I thought it was. I thought it was going to be Grace Point again or Broadchurch again. And it's a small town. And based on the death of the child, which is like Grace Point.
It's a remake. I found out it was a remake. I didn't know that. Yeah, I didn't know that.
But it's the secrets and lies of the entire community start to come out as he starts to, I wouldn't say frame, but he's trying to pin the murder on everybody else. Mm-hmm. And as he does that, their secrets come out and their lies come out. So it was a very different twist on how they were going to do the show. Plus, it's filmed in Wilmington, North Carolina, which, of course, we love from Sleepy Hollow, which mm-hmm. you did on TV Talk.
I did do that.
And Under the Dome Radio that Mr. Henderson and I do. So we love Wilmywood.
Is there anything you're watching that you wish or that people keep telling you to watch that you finally watched and you're like, no? No.
Everybody's saying iZombie is really good from Rob Thomas, mm-hmm. and I did watch the pilot. It is very much Veronica Mars rebooted.
With as a zombie.
As a zombie who eats brains. And then I'm trying to remember
and
the name.
And solves crimes.
I think it was Ghost Whisperer. No, it was True Calling is what I'm thinking of with Eliza Dushku.
It's very, very reminiscent of True Calling. I'm really surprised they haven't seen more of that in the media because it's very reminiscent
It is True Calling meets Veronica Mars, smashed up. And it's just frustrating because she's so pasty looking because she's a zombie. I wish I could give
nobody
her a,
questions. You are so pale.
Man, get a tan already. Fake bake if you got to spray it on something.
I will tell you, I was not a fan of that pilot. And then actually one of our listeners, David McGrath, he kept telling me, got to check it out. And also Kevin, friend of the podcast, Kevin, said, you got to check it out, give it a chance. So I did partake the other two episodes. And also Justin told me, but Justin always, anytime I don't like something, Justin always tells me I should watch it.
Yep.
And vice versa. I tell him to watch it. He'll never watch it. He still hasn't watched Psych. I'm still pissed about that. But so I did partake the other two episodes, and it does get more interesting. I don't know if I really want to invest like every week in it, but it's something that I would binge watch.
Because there's no mythology. It's a serialized show. It's not a mythology show.
For me, it's still a little too Veronica Mars. Like, I guess I hear her voice every time I hear this girl talk, Rose MacGyver, who does a great job, but I still hear Veronica Mars' voice
and
whenever
it's because
she
they do
talks.
The what do you call it, the exposition speech yes, where she's talking to herself and she's talking to the audience. It's totally Veronica Mars.
The narration is definitely very Veronica Mars, but
it is not Party Down by any means.
No, it's not Party Down. I think it's about time for us to wrap up our podcast, our live. It's almost time for whoever comes on stage next to take over. But, Troy, once again, where can people find you?
You can find me on Twitter at Troy Heinrichs. You can also go to about.me and get everything there. But great to be working here as a fan of the Ho myself. Thanks for having me on. And, of course, good luck tonight.
Seriously, thanks for coming on. Because I know the other guy, I know you're a fan of the show. And the other guys, sincerely, I don't think I gave them a lot of grief, but they couldn't make it legitimately. I mean, you know, there's work and finances and other reasons.
Yeah.
They couldn't make this event. But when we were asked to do this, I couldn't necessarily turn it down. So I really appreciate you coming on and
not at all.
Filling in. Because nobody wanted to hear me just ramble for an hour.
That is for sure. We do that on the Blacklist already.
And we are...
You guys are up for the award.
We are up for... The Hollywood Outsiders up for Best Movies and Films at the Podcast Awards, which is tonight. So by the time everybody actually gets to hear this... they will
find out we're all depressed that we didn't win.
I will be drinking in celebration or drinking in sadness, one of the two. And also the Blacklist Exposed, the show that we do was actually a finalist, which surprised me.
Yeah,
yeah, we were very taken aback, very appreciative, very grateful to all our listeners there.
We needed 10 episodes to be in the cut, and we did 11.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And I don't know. And you can, are you going to put this on the Blacklist too?
If you want us to, we sure can.
Go ahead.
We talked about it.
We'll share it. We'll have it on both. So if you're listening to this, thanks to all the Blacklist Exposed listeners as well. And I'm going to wrap up the actual show for The Hollywood Outsider. Remember to like us on Facebook. We have a Hollywood Outsider Facebook group for movie and TV fans, not just for fans of the show. It's for anybody who likes to talk about movies. And it's a small, dedicated group. Really great people. You should definitely check it out. Just go to the Facebook and look in groups for The Hollywood Outsider. Review us on iTunes, and we'll read your review on the show. Go to thehollywoodoutsider.com. We're also on Twitter at @H_Outsider. Are you turning up like what I say? Our email is feedback@thehollywoodoutsider.com. Listen and subscribe for free on iTunes. Listen on your Stitcher radio app. Give us a thumbs up if you do. Or through our RSS feed. Thanks to Libsyn. They support us over there. And I think that's going to do it for The Hollywood Outsider from New Media Expo. So thanks, Troy. Thanks again for being here, man.
Absolutely.
I had a good time. And live is definitely weird because people are just coming up and, hey, what's up?
Yeah.
How you doing? Remember, guys, the next time you go to a theater, buy popcorn.
Well done, Aaron. That was awesome.
Nice. Nice. The best part is Scott hasn't actually heard it yet.
I had to give a slow clap.
Well, I hope when you actually hear it, you enjoy it. I hope everybody listening enjoyed it. We will be back. Scott, what do you want to say in closing? Is there anything? Anything you've been watching you want to recommend since we didn't do a normal show this week?
Oh, yeah. I actually just watched a stand-up special by a comedian called Chris D'Elia. It's called Incorrigible, and I'm saying that correctly. It's not incorrigible. It's incorrigible. It's a Netflix original, and he's a comedian I really like. So speaking of the documentary we talked about earlier, I thoroughly enjoyed it. I thought it was really funny.
What's his name again?
Chris D'Elia. I'm not even sure how you pronounce it. He's got a couple sitcoms on TV, and he's hilarious. I think he's funny. It's my kind of humor.
So
It's spelled Chris, traditional spelling, C-H-R-I-S, last name D apostrophe E-L-I-A. I did finally also watch the first episode of Daredevil. I know I'm late to the party, but holy cow, that show was...
It's intense, right?
And it's not what you think from like for a superhero or a Marvel property.
No, I bet that's why you were delaying it, because you're not big on, you know, I don't need another comic book show or movie or anything else. And
kind of, yeah.
Yeah.
And it's more lawyer courtroom stuff. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's some definite choreography, and the choreography is really impressive considering it's – I keep saying, you know, for a Netflix show, but –
For any show, really.
They're doing really quality stuff. They're doing like film level stuff in that.
Wait till you get. You're only on the first. Wait till you get to the second episode. There's a fight scene in the second episode that is fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
Like even for a film, I mean, it's like the Raid quality almost.
Hmm.
Really, really cool, and it's a great show. I'm glad you're sticking with it.
Mm-hmm.
You never got to see Unfriended, did you?
I did not. I had an opportunity to go after school, but I only had a 20-minute window, and I didn't hit it. So,
what about Paul Blart, Mall Cop 2?
Man, that's at 0% on Rotten Tomatoes right now.
That's fantastic.
I still can't believe that movie got made. Did it warrant a sequel? I can't wait to see the numbers and how well it did.
It did. I'll tell you what. Because we didn't have a normal show, I'll give you box office. How's that?
Okay.
Furious 7, $29.1 million for a total of $294 million.
And it's hit a billion, hasn't it?
It's like $1.1 billion now.
Oh, that's so nuts.
The last one only hit $700 million. Now, I know people are like, well, Paul Walker didn't die worth $400 million. He did not. He did not.
I think that was a part. I think that send-off was a big reason why people want to see it or see multiple viewings of it.
I'm sure it was, but I also think that series grows with every movie. It's just, mm-hmm. It's honestly, it's a phenomenon.
I think so too.
Yeah.
But what's funny is it's not even my favorite one of the series. I think I still like 5 better.
Yeah, which is funny because that's the one that's a little less crazy than the last two movies.
Which is saying something.
Yeah. Dragon is safe seems entirely illogical now down the highway. Paul Blart Mall Cop 2, $23.7 million opening.
That's wow. What was the budget on that?
That was like $30 million. That's it.
Well, it'll still make money.
That's $23 million is actually pretty good, man. That's for 0% Rotten Tomato score. That means no critic liked it.
Not a single
one. Not a single critic even said, you know what? It's all right. I'll give that a 5.5.
It made me chuckle.
Mm-hmm. Nothing. Unfriended did $15.8 million. That's actually pretty good for a really micro-budgeted movie. That's
movie people are giving such a hard time for that from people that haven't seen it. I think they had the – remember when I told you I first saw the trailer and the MTV logo turned me off? Mm-hmm. But then I watched the trailer and was like, wow, I need to see this?
Yep.
I feel like a lot of people are like that, but they're sticking with the cynicism for it.
I agree, man. I absolutely agree.
So,
people suck, Scott. What do you want me to tell you? People suck. They suck. Home, $10.6 million. It's $143 million total.
Wow.
It did really well.
Big Bang Theory appeal.
Yeah, he's got a few fans.
You put any other voice in that, and that movie would not have done as well.
Probably not. Longest Ride, $7 million for a $23.6 million total. I still say it's the worst title of any movie this year, but...
weren't you going to see it with the listener? Didn't
I? I was going to. I didn't. So I lied. Suck on it. I lied.
Maybe I'll have to pick up the reins.
I guess that's... Well, you had that one in the fucking wheelhouse. All right. Well, I think that'll about do it. Once again, thank you very much to Troy. He's on Twitter at Troy Heinrichs. That's God damn it.
You can't spell his name.
No. Troy Heinrichs. Troy Heinrichs. Come on. Go listen to Blacklist Exposed. He's on there. There you go. Scott just spelled it. He's got it. Sorry, Troy. I'm not even going to edit it because I don't care. But he does a great job. We really appreciate him helping us out. And I every week on the Blacklist Exposed, he deals with my attitude, and I really appreciate that. So the fact that he deals with that and helped us out, that was really appreciative. So I hope you guys enjoyed the episode. And remember, we will have our summer movie episode coming up shortly. I know we said April 21st, but unforeseen circumstances, I can't help that. Really appreciate the understanding there from everybody. Anything you want to say in parting, Scott?
Also, be sure to check out my group over at the Gaming Outsider on Facebook. We've got lots of good discussions. If you are a gamer, always looking for new members.
Absolutely. And, okay. Well, stay through the credits for outtakes any other week, but not this one, because we're just wrapping it up. Go to thehollywoodoutsider.com. Tweet us at @H_Outsider. Facebook.com/TheHollywoodOutsider. Email is feedback@TheHollywoodOutsider.com. Listen and subscribe for free on iTunes. Listen on your Stitcher Radio app or through our RSS feed. We will have our, when we do our summer finale wrap up, Brian and I are going to discuss the Justified series finale at the very end of that as well. We were going to do that for this episode, but unfortunately we weren't able to. So we'll have that. Listener emails, all the guys that have been giving us feedback as far as what their top movies were. We're saving that information for when we actually do that episode. So I hope you understand. I think that'll pretty much cover it. It's going to do it for this episode of The Hollywood Outsider. Scott, say goodbye.
Next time you go to a theater, buy popcorn.